Hated the town in Vegas, huh?
Yeah.
Sure.
Not really.
No?
We just did, like, some fun stuff and hung out. And when we're in Vegas, we usually just, like, do a bunch of stuff. And this time we kind of hung out in the hotel room and relaxed a little bit, too. So
it sounds like what's happening in Vegas is staying in Vegas. I don't believe this story, Tiffle, but it sounds
like... We didn't really do much.
It sounds like it's all on the low-low.
We saw like some shows and stuff.
Yeah. We'll see the pictures one day.
It's Vans on Patrol time. It's Vans on Patrol time.
If you're keeping track, it's episode 215. We're continuing our month of Everybody's a Damn Criminal. I kept saying bad guy on the last show, but it's Everybody's a Damn Criminal, our month of criminal movies. And episode 215, and it's Vans on Patrol time! Make sure all the echo gets in there. I'm the host of Fans of Patrol. My name is Montego Bradley. With me is a sensitive one back from her secret vacation in Vegas, and we think it's all, everything is staying there. Miss Tiffobot, how are you back from Fun in the Sun, Tiff?
I am great. It was actually quite cold.
It was cold.
40 degrees there.
What the hell?
I know. It's bullshit.
That was you. That's because you was here.
I know. And then back here, and it's like 30 degrees, and I'm like, well.
Wait a minute.
It's freezing.
It was 40 degrees in Vegas?
Yeah.
You know, I went to Florida years ago, and the same crap happened. It was 60, and 60 is here is fine, but for some reason, down there, it felt like it was bone chilling, you know?
Yeah. Wow.
60 degrees on the strip?
Yeah, it was bad. And the main is fine, but like we had a good time, but it's not like you could go to the pool or anything like that.
All the hoochie-coochie girls walking around on the strip, they got on fur coats.
Yep, everyone was wearing coats, and
wow,
it's chilly.
I had no idea I ever got like that there. You know, so close to the equator. You know?
Right. Yep. Still, but you know what? The gambling was still there, so that's fine.
Yeah. Hookers, too. And you know.
Yes, we didn't see any sex workers.
No clickety-clickities? No clickities? You know?
We didn't see anybody. Well, that you know, sometimes you can't tell, but I didn't see anyone that right. I know of.
Yeah. Well, that you know of, huh? Okay.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
All right. Okay, we'll keep that on the low. No, just playing. So how was it, man? You went there and you did your duties down there, right?
Yeah, I brought Alex, my friend Alex, Jesse, and my brother.
Oh, check y'all out. Y'all acted a fool. Young people. That's wonderful.
We had a really good time, but it was kind of a basic vacation. It wasn't like it maybe would be like the same as going to like on a relaxing vacation. Usually in Vegas, we're like hyped up all the time, but like this was really fun and relaxing.
No tigers in the room in the morning?
Not this time.
No pole dancers named Lolita sleeping next to somebody who don't know where she came from? No?
I wish.
Okay. So no smooth today. Yep. And so I still want to give a shout out to Marky Mark Ellis Reagan for coming in and holding it down for you last week.
I want to give a shout out to say that makes me sad. Thanks for coming when I'm not here. I texted Montego and I said, no. But I'm glad that he was able to step in for me. Thank you for that.
Oh, yeah. He came in and, you know, we did our duties with our next movie. We had a ball with the professional. You know, it was good because everybody liked it. And even if somebody didn't like it, it wouldn't have took away from the people who did like it. You know, we all liked it and talked about it pretty good. So this continues our month of Everybody's a Damn Criminal, man. And something that we don't normally hit on our Fans of Patrol, but, you know, it fits right in. Ocean's 8.
Yeah.
Starring Sandra Bullock and a whole bunch of other gals, women, ladies, madams, whatever, you know, is politically correct for you. Chicks.
Sure.
Whatever. So.
Chicks. Yeah, I'm sure that's the one.
So, in the news this week, man, believe it or not, Tiff had the nerve to dig up some George R.R. Martin news. You would think that would be impossible. But we got it. And it's news. It's bona fide news.
It is.
We also want to talk about the passing of an icon this week. And in our news segment titled Star Wars Every Week, we got Star Wars news. Also, we were going to play a game, but Tiff was unaware that Smooth ducked out on us again. And what you're watching is going to replace our game that we had. Because we had a game last week, Tiff, and the fun was back. And you know what's funny?
We're lame-os. It's lame time again. It's what you're watching.
Yeah, I'm going to make a claim right here, too.
All right.
I listened to the game that we played last week. Uh-huh. And Mark won the game last week, right?
He always wins.
No.
Yes.
After I counted up the points and re-listened to it myself, he absolutely did not win. I got shafted.
Don't do this.
I got
Don't
shafted.
Don't do this.
I got shafted. I was like, wow, wait a minute. Play that back. I'm like, God damn, I won. Yep. So screw that.
Oh my God, you guys.
I'm just telling
you. This is what we're talking about. This is what we have to deal with, and it's worse off the air.
But we had Smooth fooling around, you know, not keeping track, you know, and I wasn't keeping track because the questions were hard and stuff. And then once I listened to it, I was like, wow, I actually won. Chumps beat me out of my cheese there. Anyway, so yeah, like you were saying, we got what you watching too. In the comics, Tiff managed to dig out some Doctor Who, the new female Doctor Who comic.
I didn't make this one really nerdy, you guys. This is a really nerdy show.
I didn't really think that they would had comics for that, you know. But they
they have comics for all of them.
Yeah, I found that out yesterday. I was like, oh wow, look at all this. And guess what else in comics I found out? That what? Fantastic Four, they up to book number 4. I didn't miss the intro, so we gonna hit that next week. All right, we gonna start with number 1, man. I wanna damn it.
Sounds perfect.
Because the second Wolverine kind of sucked. But anyway. And then we're going to top off the show with our review discussion of Everybody's a Damn Criminal in Ocean's 8. Because everybody's a damn criminal. And that's going to do it, Tiff. So how does that sound to you?
Sounds perfect.
You ready to roll?
Yeah.
Let's roll. All right, man, let's get it on, man. We got news to do, and we're going to add some breaking news, even though this is not breaking because it came out early this week. But we decided to add it, man. We decided to add it. So we were looking, and we saw this new trailer for Disney's live-action Dumbo, you know. So, Tiff, if you got a chance to look at that trailer, what do you think?
I know that people are really – okay, first of all, I have a lot to say about Dumbo because I hate Dumbo.
What the hell wrong with you?
I know. I don't like it. I don't.
What's the problem?
I do find a lot. I am a big Disney fan, as people who listen to the show probably know. But right. I don't quite like a lot of the early Disney movies. They're just a little boring.
Oh, really? But Dumbo was so short. You know, Dumbo was like, was Dumbo even a feature film or was it, you know, television?
Yeah.
It was a full length feature film because it seemed short to me.
Well, almost all animated movies are like 80 to 90 minutes.
I thought it was shorter than that, but go ahead.
So, I told Montego before we watched this, I said, we should do it on the show because I know I'm going to think it's stupid. So we have something to talk about. But then I watched the trailer. It doesn't really look that stupid.
Nope. I was like, Tiff, you full of shit, man. This looks fine.
Yeah, it looks fine. I mean, I would probably watch this. It looks pretty interesting. I like Tim Burton. The internet is breaking over this trailer because people are sobbing.
I just let me step in. I'm sitting here like, God damn, Disney trying to make me cry doing a goddamn trailer. I'm sitting here like, man, I'm getting sad, man. You know, I'm getting terribly sad watching this trailer. And Dumbo, I remember Dumbo was kind of sad, man. You know, the mama getting whipped and stuff, and then they sent her away and all that stuff. And you know, I think she comes back in the end. I don't remember, but or she dies or something. I don't know. It's Disney, and somebody always die. But true. I think that Mama came back in the end. Anyway,
I think so too. But it's been a long time since I've actually
seen it. Since I was not a young boy, but it's been years. But it looked pretty good. And there's was that Michael Keaton in there looking all suave?
Yeah, sure was looking old.
Why do I love that older gentleman like I do?
He's a good actor. He's a dark horse, came out and reemerged as a great actor.
Hey, you remember when he was just doing comedies? You remember that? Like
early? I remember like Multiplicity.
Well, it was stuff.
Mr. Mom.
Mr. Mom.
Is he in that?
Yeah, Mr. Mom was one. he did this one where it was with Doc Brown, and they all played a bunch of like people in the same asylum that escaped together. It was like all these top actors. It was a great movie. But you know, he did plenty, and then all of a sudden he did Clean and Sober, and that was it. He was serious after that. But yeah, and
oh, that's Colin Farrell.
Colin Farrell, right? And then two unknown kids. And the damn elephant looked like he was flying for real, so I don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah, well, it's a, and I appreciate this because all the animals in this look like they're
CG,
which is great. I prefer animals to be CG because
they're not abused.
Yes.
Well, look at the Jungle Book and these other movies. You know, every animal was CG, and it
looks good.
Looks great. Jungle Book is, if you haven't seen that, the live action remake of that was awesome, man. Really, really good. So I can't say that I'm going to see it, but I will not run away from it. And if you
right, want, like if it was on, I'm not probably not going to go to the theater and see it. But if someone was like, "Hey, let's go," I'd probably go. Or if it was on TV, I'd watch it.
Yeah, you know. And Smooth will sit here and say, "Well, I'm going to go because the kids want to see it." And blah, blah. His kid watched Disney movies and Death and Carnage. So Smooth, which one is going to be Death and Carnage or Cuddly Teddy Bears? Anyway. So that's Dumbo, man. You know, I kind of dig it. So, Tiff.
Yes.
George R. R. Martin, he is no longer with us, correct?
No, he is.
He is. Okay. Oh, yeah. He's still around. Okay.
Yep, he just takes his time writing those books.
Okay, so what has he done that's newsworthy?
Well, this looks... Okay, I was confused by this a little bit because this is a story that he doesn't exactly write. It's like he... It's kind of like the brainchild behind it.
But it's his
like a
idea.
Superhero. Yeah, it's like mm-hmm. a superhero franchise. It's called Wild Cards.
Yeah, that's Tiff. I didn't give a damn about this until I actually read the article, but proceed.
Well, it sounds like in the future there's been some kind of disease or something. And if you either are a Joker, which you kind of like transform, you like mutate, or you're an Ace. In which case you get superpowers.
Yes. So.
And it's coming to Hulu.
Mm-hmm.
This picture of a person who's a half tiger.
Looks hardcore.
It looks like shit.
Oh, I think it's a drawing,
it
looks though.
It's terrible.
It's not like live action. It's a. Yeah. Oh, come on. Tiff, he's like half white tiger, man. That's hardcore. Get out of here. Hey, y'all, don't listen to Tiff. This picture looks awesome, man. So it's 27 books and comic books and stuff mixed together, right?
Yeah, it's kind of like a Star Wars type thing where there's like a show, comic books, there's a whole community that's really involved and really likes these books.
Yeah, and so like apparently in this world that, you know, the actual virus sometimes comes later in life and stuff like that. So
right, so you don't know if you're just going to be totally screwed over.
Yeah, so you can be a Joker, an Ace. I thought it was three things. I thought I saw three things here. Wild card. Blah, 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 blah. Okay, maybe I'm wrong. I thought it was three.
Jokers and mutate or become the Aces and get superpowers.
Yeah, hopefully everybody wants to be an Ace, I'm sure, you know.
But, you know, mutants in the X-Men universe have superpowers, so maybe it's similar.
Yeah, maybe.
But this is going to be on Hulu. It was originally bought by Sci-Fi, so thank God. So mm-hmm. it's now been bought by Hulu.
Look, tearing up Sci-Fi.
I'm sorry. As a person who actually has watched a few Sci-Fi shows and liked them, but you have to admit that they are garbage. Oh, like, do you know what I mean?
Like, yeah, it's like Krypton. Right, I'm the only one watching it. I love it, but I will not sit up here and stand on a mountain. You know, the story is good, and you know, anybody listening to the show knows if the story is good, you got me. So sometimes people are like, "Oh, he likes everything." I like a story.
And yeah, you could watch a show about two paper bags as long as it was well written.
If it was well written, I'm good, man. Right. So, you know, the story on Krypton is good, but yeah, the way it looks, no, you know, of course not. Get out of here. I'm not that, you know, forgiving. Anyway.
You think you'd watch this Wild Cards?
Depends on what the trailer looks like. I love the concept. I say, oh, this will be a pretty cool world, I think.
Yeah.
You know?
I mean,
Joker, and it's in the 46. I'm sorry. What? It's in 1946, so it's in the past, which makes the whole thing period, too. So, you know, everything about it would be, you know, a different world. I like period stuff because it forces you to go someplace else, you know.
Yeah, I agree. I also like a good period piece, and I like period pieces that like for instance, as we've talked about in the past, some of my favorite Star Trek episodes are the ones where they go into like the past.
Talk about that one with Joan Crawford.
When he's the girlfriend. Yes, I like the one where they like do the fake Bond stuff. Even I like the ones where they do where they became the newspaper reporter.
Yeah.
And I like the one where in TNG where they go back to like old West times and Data's like a card shark person.
Yeah.
I like it all.
Yeah, me too.
So this time could be really travel. Good, but George R. R. Martin doesn't need any more money.
No, but hey, you know, maybe he do. You know, maybe spend all his money on the hoes and the guns and the drugs. You know, you don't don't know. Don't know how he lived his life. So it's cool. I mean, we'll see what the trailer looks like, and then we'll comment on it further if it ever gets to that point. You know, that's how I feel about it. So
I'll watch it.
Oh boy! So we knew it was coming eventually.
Yeah.
Stan Lee, what? 95 years old.
95.
Comic book pioneer, iconic, you know, prolific comic book creator, making what? Daredevil, Thor, X-Men, Iron Man, Fantastic Four, Doctor Strange, Spider-Man, passed this week. His wife passed last year, you know, and I think his name is Stanley. His real name was Stanley Lieber. Changed his name to Stan Lee. And I remember seeing a documentary with him saying that he hated that he did that. He was that's like one of his biggest regrets. He said it was just plain stupid, you know, probably because back in the day they was trying to get away from the fact that it was Jewish, because everybody who wrote comic books were, you know, Jewish, and it was a poor man's profession, you know, and just trying to, you know, make money and become famous. You know, a lot of people used to change their last names. A lot of Germans used to change their last name, you know, from that generation, you know.
Sure.
That World War II generation. So, you know, my first introduction to Stan Lee, believe it or not, probably for a lot of other people, was Spider-Man and His Amazing Friends. I used to see the name Stan Lee, and it meant nothing, you know, on every comic book I read. Stan Lee. And you're like, who the hell is this Stan Lee? Get out the way. Anyway, but then once Spider-Man and His Amazing Friends, he's the narrator, you know, and he talking that Stan Lee voice, and hello, true believers, you know, this is Stan Lee. And at the end, he always, Excelsior, you know. But he narrated the whole TV show. If you ever want to have a good time and go straight up 80s, just go check out Spider-Man and His Amazing Friends. It's awesome. Awesome show. But if you didn't grow up with it, it's terrible. Terrible show. So
you're really selling it.
So what's your first memories of Stan Lee, Tiff?
Well, I will always associate Stan Lee with Spider-Man.
Of course.
For some reason. I mean, like, even though he's done a lot and created a lot, that's the one I think of the most. Mm-hmm. Do you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And for me, I will think a lot about, this is really silly, but his cameo in Mallrats.
Oh yeah.
And like, I don't think he was doing cameos in like superhero movies back then.
What was he, the janitor or something like that? I think he was like,
he was just a guy at the mall.
Okay.
I think he was actually Stan Lee. I think he was playing Stan Lee as himself.
Okay.
I don't really remember, but I just remember seeing him in that movie and thinking, oh, that's Stan Lee.
Yeah, well, you know.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, of course. Right. Yeah.
And now, I mean, he's kind of like, now you, when you're, it's going to be weird now, because you're going to watch those superhero movies and you're going to like wait.
And you know something?
For his scene.
It never got old to me with the
cameos. No, it was
the
never cameos. A bother.
The cameos was like, always like, it's Stan, you know, like he's an old good friend, you know, because it has been like an old good friend to me, man. You used to see the names on all those comic books, and then the narration that he put there was just completely him, you know, his personality, and you know, it always felt like he understood you as a kid reading those comics, and even as an adult reading those comics, and you know, all the pictures that he take with people. I mean, he's one of those guys, man, that just rarely turned people away, you know, rarely gave them that crappy thing. I think because he comes from such, you know, poor background, and you know, remember when people thought comic books was a joke, you know, wouldn't even respect them, called them funny books. My grandmama used to call them funny books. Quit reading them funny books, you know. So yeah, he was supposed to come to Cleveland last March, and I was trying to get an interview with him. Actually, I was supposed to get an interview with him, and then all of a sudden he canceled for health reasons, you know. I was like, damn it. And I knew, I said, that's probably my last chance. You know what I'm saying? That's probably my last chance that I was going to get, you know, to meet the man, because I never got a chance to meet the man. I know plenty of people have met him and stuff like that. But, you know, one last thing on Stan Lee. What is your favorite cameo in a Marvel movie? Can you think of one of those offhand?
I cannot think of, like, one particular one that is, like, super standout, but, like...
I'll tell you my favorite one.
Go on.
Oh,
I knew you had one.
It took me by surprise when I saw it. It was in Deadpool 1 when he was in the strip club spinning the records. He was a DJ in the Hoochie Coochie Bar. Nickel Stanley spinning the records over the corner. That was my favorite one. That was hands down my favorite one, man. I was like, perfect. Of all places, you wouldn't have thought they would have put him in there. Matter of fact, I didn't even think they were going to put him in that rated R movie at all.
Sure, sure.
You know, but, you know, good for him, man. You know, the dude cracks me up every time I used to see him in those things, you know. So,
yeah,
you thought of one yet or no?
No, I won't be able to think of one because my brain just flushes out old information pretty quickly.
Okay, gotcha.
I don't even remember what happened yesterday.
I like when he came in there to give Thor a haircut. That was funny. You know, he was all dressed up in that silly stuff. He was like, no, kind sir. Anyway, so long to Stan Lee. You know, you've been a great companion, in my opinion, in my lifetime. That's for sure.
Yep, and thanks for all you did.
Yeah, I'm not even going to say Excelsior, but I just said it right there. So, so man, where we at?
Oh! So, it's your favorite part of every show.
Let's cue that dope-ass Star Wars music there, just... Hey, it ain't my fault, Tiff. Star Wars managed to make news every single week. It's amazing. And but this is some news I knew you liked, Tiff. So why don't you tell us about this action from Star Wars?
So as we've been talking about, The Mandalorian.
Indeed.
They have picked their lead.
Indeed.
And it's Pedro Pascal, the guy who has been in Game of Thrones. He was in that Arrows movie or whatever. What was that movie called that we liked?
You didn't
like
The
Wall.
The Wall. Great Wall. I didn't think
you liked it.
Oh, I like Great Wall, right. He was just in The Equalizer 2.
Equalizer 2?
He was a piece of shit.
He was in Kingsman?
Yes. Yes.
He's in Narcos, right? Is he in
that? Yeah, Narcos. We love Pedro Pascal. So this is good news
for
us.
Clearly, I could name things that he's in, so.
Right. So I'm happy about this news. And then they also announced that Gina Carano was put in this thing, too. You know, the MMA, ex-MMA fighter. Mm-hmm. She was the big lady that was in Deadpool 1.
I didn't know that.
Beating the hell out of Colossus, you know, the big muscle-bound lady. Mm-hmm. So she's, she got put in it this week, too, so. It's shaping up to be pretty interesting, man. But bravo for putting a high caliber actor like Pedro out. You know, Pedro, even though he's a phenomenal actor. Narcos, people just rave and rave about Narcos, man. So
yeah.
The guy is something else. And his accent in Kingsman just blew me away. You know,
I just adore him. I think he's so good. He's such an enigmatic person to watch.
Yes.
You're just like, oh, I can't keep my eyes off of him.
That's how I feel.
He's an excellent choice for like a gruff bounty hunter.
And maybe he won't be. Maybe he might be refined.
He better be a bounty hunter. I'll be mad.
Oh, he's going to be the Mandalorian, but I'm just saying, maybe he might not be gruff. Maybe he may be refined like, you know, Bane. You know, I was born in darkness. You never know. You know how to.
We don't know. But I feel like it's going to be good. I would watch this. See, I'm on the fence most of the time. I'm like, I could take it or leave it. But now I'm committed.
Is that so? So what? Yes. You know, you weren't here last week. They Diego Luna was cast in that new Star Wars, the Rogue One prequel. How excited are you about that?
I will watch that as well.
Yeah, I like that actor. I like that world. You know, I think I don't know if we mentioned this last week, but I was giving it some thought, and actually, the Rogue One world, hands down, is my favorite world in the Star Wars universe. And when I say world, I'm not talking about a planet. I'm just talking about it was the most believable.
The cinematic.
Yes, you know, it was a perfect place. I loved Jeddah. You know, I loved all the places they went, the Yavin Fort. To me, that world was like, that was my Star Wars, you know, all dirty and used and ready to go, you know. So setting that show in that universe is just makes me all warm and fuzzy inside, man. I feel great about that. You know, the prospects. I just, you know, just let's get it on.
I wanted to watch more of the Asian guys.
Yeah, you could maybe they'll bring them back on the show.
More.
Yeah. That's Master Ip, man, you know, so put him back in it. You know? Shoot. Oh, he sure could do a prequel show with him too.
Yeah.
Or you could just throw him into that was the first time he ever met them, so you know, you couldn't throw him in there. But
right.
Anyway, look, I'm trying to write him a show, you know. Yeah, Master Ip was he's hardcore, man. He didn't even need a lightsaber, and he was whooping all kind of ass like a Jedi. Oh my goodness. Anyway, and Blonde, you know.
Maybe I will watch, I'm thinking today I might watch Deadpool or Star Wars.
Yeah, something. I'm talking about some good ones, you know.
Making me want to just go watch some movies while I lay on the couch
and do nothing.
Yes.
Yeah, you know, because I'm tired too. I just got back from that damn business trip that was like four 5 days. Goodness gracious, I'm tired, y'all. I'm tired, but we sold the road on this show. So is that it? Oh, shoot. That's
time for social media.
Social media. If you don't mind, I'll hit that up since you know, this is your show.
You go for it.
Okay. For everything Fans of Patrol, please go to fansofpatrol.com. There you'll find all our goodies, man. You'll find past shows. You'll find current shows. You'll find show art. You'll find articles, which I got to get rid of them damn things. They've been on there for 100 years.
I'm sorry.
Full disclosure, y'all. I've been so busy. I've been involved in something. I'll talk about it in a couple weeks here. But I've been involved in something the last 2 years. And so if you followed our page and stuff, you'll see the changes have been slow on that. And I apologize. But after December, bam, man, everything is going to come back to life. I promise you. So you can reach us at fans@fansofpatrol.com. That's our email. Or you can hit us, right direct with social media, Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and that's at Fans of Patrol. You can hear our shows on Stitcher, Satchel, Google Play, Podbeam, Apple Podcasts. Spotify is the easiest one, I think, to listen to us on. And you can leave your reviews, especially on Apple, and any comments on Podbeam. We'll read those suckers on the air, man. We did just get a comment, but I didn't understand it. It was just something like, I know this guy. Somebody left, I know this guy. And I said, what?
I'm talking about you.
Who know who the hell he's talking about?
So
I don't know who they was talking about. So I was like, I need to get back with them and say, what the hell are you talking about? You know, but they were commenting on an older show. So that's it, man. That's Fans of Patrol. And with that, what we're gonna do is we're gonna take a little breaky poo, and we'll be right back. Gene, what the hell was he saying to Billy? Back on the scene, but you come to me. What did she say? What is he saying? Say, I am not the one on the floor, in the ground. What?
Dance on the floor, in the round.
In the round. What the hell does that mean, Mike? All these shitty ass words.
Around.
It's crazy. All these singers.
Well.
And don't let me get started back on your boy. Where we going tomorrow? Where we going in the band? Yeah, what is that? They made whole careers out of this, man. Don't know what the hell these people ever said, you know?
That was the time, though, the 90s.
Yo, 80s, 90s, shit, you know? Oh, well, boy.
Grunge was particularly bad, I think. Especially,
hey.
Do we even need to talk about
Nirvana? I don't know what he was saying. Hey, you want to know what's funny? One time my kids were watching The Muppets and they started doing a Nirvana and they were singing the words for real. And I was like, is that what the hell he was saying? It was like nonsense, man. Anyway, let's get back on track here.
All right, I'm sorry.
All right, let's see. We're going to do what you're watching, y'all. Okay.
Oh my God, were we on the air the whole time?
We are always on the air, Triple Bot. You gotta be on your P's and Q's. So, if you never heard the show before, what you're watching is when we just take shit that we've been watching on TV and we talk about it, man, and we share it with you and we see if you have the same feelings. Oh, Tiff is having the ball. So, I'll go first since you still crack it up.
Okay, all right, I'm gonna get myself together.
So, believe it or not, I was going away at this conference all week, so I didn't get a chance to watch that much, but I did watch one thing. This time of year, the holidays, it's my stuff, Tifflebot. Turkey, smelling good, family and friends. And so, I always watch Planes, Trains, and Automobiles. I haven't watched it yet. And I love it. Oh, yeah, me too. I can watch it 1,000 times. But back in the day, if you remember old Spike TV, used to be, and then they changed it to G4 and all this stuff.
Yes.
I used to watch it because they would have these James Bond marathons on for the entire week. And they would just play James Bond all day, 24/7, over and over. And so I used to love it. I sit there and watch James just over and over doing his thing. And I've seen them all, you know, some of them more than others. You know, some of them I barely remember. But so I started doing my own James Bond marathon. I started buying James Bond films. I started with the first, next, kept going. So I got up to Live and Let Die. And yeah, cue that funky Live and Let Die music, because that's about the only thing that's good about it. So that was Roger Moore's introduction as James Bond. And he, you know, I'm not a Roger Moore fan as James Bond, but he wasn't really bad as James Bond in this movie. But boy, oh boy, if anybody ever seen this movie, I had no idea how stone cold racist this damn movie was against African Americans, man. I mean, it was just every stereotype. It was almost like a blaxploitation film. It was terrible. And the acting was terrible. And it was just terrible. I mean, just afros and everybody, yeah, you dig, you jive turkey. And it was just like, holy shit, y'all actually did this to us. The first time we get in a James Bond movie as African Americans and we just a bunch of damn clowns, it was so bad. I was like, this movie should have been boycotted, man. Holy shit, man.
I've never seen any, like, I've only seen
the newer ones?
Yeah, no, just only Casino Royale, the new one.
Oh, really? Well, the rest of them with Daniel Craig is on that same, you know, vein. And the older ones were really popular at the time, and they were fine for the time. Like, especially the ones with Sean Connery. But then they got a little cheesy. But then I'm looking at these James Bond films, and they started releasing them almost every year, starting in 1971. That's when Roger Moore came on the scene. And then there's like one on in 73, then 74, then 77. I was like, damn, they were making these movies like hotcakes. But this one, holy moly, all the black people doing voodoo.
When did it come out?
1971, I believe.
Okay.
And so all the black people was doing voodoo. They was either voodoo priestess or, you know, walking around with their eyes bugged out. And, you know, the acting was just terrible. And they was all pimps. And they even called one of the cars, yeah, I'm chasing a white pimp mobile. I said, holy shit. Goodness gracious. It was just, it was terrible, man. It's bad. I don't think I'll watch this one no more. Only thing about it,
Is do you own it?
Yes. I never paid attention to it, you know. And then, like, on Apple, the picture they use is James did not fall in love with this girl, but he got the booty. It was a pretty African-American lady with an afro, but she ended up being a traitor, but ended up getting killed, but not by James. But on the picture, you know, the only one with African-American on it, well, the one with Halle Berry that came around much later, he's sitting on the beach laying down looking like James with a gun up to her face, you know. And I'm just like, wonderful. Mm-hmm. Great imagery. That's what we need, right? You know, so I'm a little pissed about that damn movie. So, Tiff, what you been watching?
Oh, my God. Well, as you said, I've been on vacation, so we didn't really watch anything. Mm-hmm. But since I've been back, and this is not exactly a TV show, so, but it's something that I've been watching. My brother has been playing, Call of Cthulhu.
The hell is that?
It's a video game about, you know,
blaxploitation.
H.P. Lovecraft, who, by the way, was a piece of shit. It's like, it's Lovecraftian, but it's, we've just been watching him play it. So it's about this guy. He's investigating a missing person or a murder. You don't know what. And it's got like occult stuff in it. And it's kind of spooky.
Yeah.
But, and I beat my other video game, by the way. So I did it.
Which one was that?
The scary one. My first horror video game.
Oh, you finished, yes. Huh?
I finished.
Oh, boy. Was it satisfying?
I don't know. It had a bizarre ending. I'm not going to spoil the ending because there's several. It's one of those ones you can have three or four different endings depending on what choices you make.
Yes.
I guess the bad ending.
Yeah. Okay.
Because I'm shitty at video games.
Oh, you should have went back and took the other direction. Save it as you go.
However, it was still fun. But that's cool. We've been having a lot of fun watching this Call of Cthulhu because it's kind of scary, kind of interesting. Mm-hmm. I recommend it. But people don't. It's getting some pretty bad reviews. So
really? You know what's getting bad reviews? The new Fallout game. You know,
really?
They're tearing that up. And I've bought all the Fallouts. And they've been saying that, you know, because it has this multiplayer aspect to it and mm-hmm. single, and they're saying that the game feels like that it doesn't know what it wants to be. And so I'm going to have to check it out for myself because I never listen to other people's reviews and make up my mind, you know.
So have you ever found that sometimes when you hear, I feel like sometimes when I hear a review, I like it more because they hated it. Yeah. But I'm like, you're wrong.
Yeah. You're just digging in and stuff, you know?
Yeah. Yes. Really commit to it.
Yeah. So I know people have been playing Red Dead Redemption. I still haven't bought it. I haven't had time enough really to play, but I've been getting on playing Destiny from time to time. But I don't know what I really want Fallout, but I don't know. We'll see.
Soon.
Yeah. So, oh man, that was a quick segment, man. So that's it. We're going to be done with what you're watching, but I think it was still funny, man. That Jay's bio was just ridiculous. Anyway, we're going to take a break and we're going to come right back. All right, man. So the BBC, Doctor Who, the 13th Doctor, book number one. Tiff, take it away.
So it's written by Jodie Hauser. The artist is Rachel Stott. And the colorist is Enrica Aaron Angliolini. That's hard to say for me.
Mm-hmm.
So basically, it gives a little bit of a backstory for the Doctor, because if you don't know who the Doctor is, you might be confused for the story. But this is the first book of the series. So what we see is some folks stealing some art for, and we don't know who it's for, but they're stealing it. And then we see the Doctor, and she's kind of introducing her companions. That's what you call the people who accompany the Doctor, mm-hmm. or her companions.
Mm-hmm. Hey, Tiff.
And they, yeah.
Were these the same people that was in that clip that we saw on television? You know, it was a black cop, and then, you know, they're pretty young. They're both 19 years old, but go ahead.
Yes, so these are the same people.
Okay.
So we see, like, someone trying to escape from a portal. They can't help them. And so they decide that they're going to go find these people and save them. And what we see is that they've stolen this art. These people they're trying to save have stolen this art for some celestial being or an alien who has a desire to own a bunch of rich things. And he's got them captive, basically.
Yes.
So then we see them kind of saving the first person and figuring out, but then before they can save the other person, figure out what's going on, they get kind of surrounded by the planet's inhabitants. So it was kind of a quick read.
Oh, it was fast. I didn't mind that. Yeah. I didn't mind that.
No, I didn't mind that either. I do think it's weird that something we have to talk about is comic books based on already existing properties.
Yes. I will say that this book suffers from being nothing but a companion to juice the fans that's already invested in it. That's what it felt like to me.
Correct. I don't feel like, it was kind of exciting for me to read because I'm already engrossed.
Yes.
I'm already familiar with these things, so mm-hmm. it was fine for me.
Mm-hmm.
But if you have never watched Doctor Who or read anything about Doctor Who, I don't think that you would buy this comic book and particularly enjoy it.
Well, that's me. I'm the person that don't.
So how did you feel about it?
It was interesting to me because it was a few things. First of all, I thought the art and the colors were gorgeous.
Sure.
I thought the way the book was put together was beautiful. I mean, it's quality. The whole thing is quality. The story was interesting. Only thing that was kind of creepy is I think the artist went way too hard in trying to make the cartoon
characters.
Yeah, way too hard trying to make them look like the actual actors. And it's like, all you need is a likeness. You don't have to actually try to make the exact face that the Doctor makes that you've seen and you froze the screen and you've
right.
painted it. And because you can tell that's what they were doing. They were literally like taking them, probably some, you know, when they was watching them act and stuff and just hitting stills and then trying to copy the face. It was creepy.
It was a little too, and it was just, like what's the Uncanny Valley type stuff where like you've gone, it's like extra human.
Yes.
Or like almost human, where like you look at it and you're like, it's not quite right. Because like right. if you were to take a picture of somebody, it's like when you have a really attractive person mm-hmm. and you snap a photo of them and you just happen to catch them making like squirch in their face and they look weird.
Yep.
That is not an accurate representation of what a human face looks like. You just happen to catch that moment
mm-hmm.
So I feel like you're right. This isn't those. That's not exactly like for an instant. That's not exactly the correct expression.
Right. Now you can see weird. You can see how talented the artists were with the characters that weren't on TV. You know, the action, the way they looked more natural than when you dealt with the actual actors. It wasn't terrible, but it was weird. But it was still gorgeous, though. I mean, very quality. It was over with really quick. And I was kind of getting into it. But then it really, 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 really hit hard with me in like toward the middle. I said, all they're doing is catering to people who are into this. They're not trying to grab new people. And I think this is your opportunity because how gorgeous the book is, you can grab a lot of people. You know, I'm like, man, do you actually have enough here that you could get some people? But I think they just tried way too hard to pander and just say, hey, fans, you know, check this out. This is our doctor. This you read this and then watch the show. And after you watch the show, come back and read the book. You know, so that's what it felt like to me. You know,
because when you're reading it, I'm like, oh, they're doing a really good job of portraying how the doctor would act. Every doctor acts differently. Mm-hmm. The transformation they experience when they regenerate affects their personality a little bit. They forget things. They learn new stuff.
I noticed that.
So I was like, oh, this is cool because you can kind of tell this is the way a doctor acts. Like, there is some stuff that like, oh, they're this, that, and that. It's like, oh, but you're right. Like, it was more of like, hey, I'm having fun because I can recognize this stuff rather than I'm having fun because it's good.
Yes, 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 yes. So I think I know there's like three more books out right now of this. And hopefully hopefully they get it together because it's not bad, but it's not good. That's for sure. No. It's not good. Stop pandering. Stop trying to hook us all up in one little thing. You know, it's too obvious, y'all. Way too obvious. So I wouldn't recommend it because of that reason. But I mean, if you're interested in Doctor Who and you don't feel like sitting down watching a TV show, but well, I guess you would watch the show before you would like buy a comic though, right?
Right. Yeah. I don't know. I'd recommend it if you like Doctor Who already and you like comic books.
Yeah, but it's still not what you really want.
But it's not getting you there. But like still, I'm going to check out the second one, see what that's like. But I mean, it's not bad, but you're right. It's not great.
Yeah, maybe we should do the second one, you know, and see it might get better. Maybe they listen to this and say, hey, maybe we should fix this shit, huh? I told you we shouldn't be doing this. Anyway, that's going to do it for the comics, man. We're going to take a break and we're going to come back with our main topic, man. We're going to come back with Ocean's 8. Be right back. All right, man, we are back, and we got that groovy, sneaky, I'm a thief music going on, so, you know, to keep with our theme, with everybody's a damn criminal. So, this week, man, we're doing something a little different. We decided to go with Ocean's 8, because in this movie, pretty much everybody's a damn criminal, you know, and if they become criminals if they're not a criminal.
That's right.
So, this movie stars Sandra Bullock, who I can say just... the chick don't age. I can't tell if she's 35 or if she's 50. I know she's in her 50s, but she don't age, man. Damn, she fine. Anyway, Kate Blanchett and Anne Hathaway. I didn't even know Anne Hathaway was in this movie.
Yep.
Mindy Kaling, is that her name? I
think. Mindy Kaling.
Kaling, I'm close. Griffin Dunn. Mm-hmm. The prison guard. Why they got the prison guard ahead of?
I know, but Sarah Paulson, Awkwafina, Rihanna, yes. Helena Bonham Carter.
Yeah, see, I'm going through the IMDb thing, and it's like putting like people who had quick glimpses ahead of like the bigger actors. Famous. Yes,
I think they do. I think IMDb has switched to order of appearance.
That's what it looks like. Yeah, because that prison guard was way up at the front. And I'm like, she was in the movie for 5 seconds. Anyway, though. Let me see. Gary Ross directed this, which I was pretty surprised because I just knew it was going to be a female director. But it wasn't. So what we do is before we jack this up, we started a new thing last week, Tiff.
Okay.
Instead of, you know, explaining how you like this thing, you know, did you like it and why? Last week we did one word. What was the one word? Like, for example.
About this movie.
Well, yeah. For example, like okay. Mark's Professional was dope. that was just it, you know. So
got it. Mm-hmm. Okay.
So describe this movie, how you like it, in one word.
Romp.
Romp. Okay.
Yeah.
I'll say intriguing.
Okay.
Which is positive.
Because
I did enjoy this movie. I had a lot of fun with it. And, you know, it was cool. It was a couple things, problems we'll get into, but we're going to hit some spoilers and we'll get into this thing, you know, that is Ocean's 8. I will say right away, the movie had the feel of the older movies. You know, it because of the music and the way it was cut and the way it was shot, it did not feel like it was like some stepchild that didn't belong in the universe, if you ask me.
Yeah, they did a good job.
I think they did too. So Sandra Bullock starts, man, in a parole hearing looking in the, how could she look fine in prison orange? How, Tiff? I'm like, she look fine in prison. Oh, damn, she fine. The woman don't age, man. I mean, she looks great. So she has this perfect speech, and I knew when she said it that she was just had that, you know, it was garbage, you know.
Yeah.
Tiff, she goes to see the prison guard, obviously got stuff going on with the prison guard, and she gets out and wastes no time. None being the piece of garbage that is an Ocean family member. So yes, she goes around and she shoplifts, steals everything, even in her hotel room. How you feeling about this so far?
So the one thing that's weird about these Ocean's movies is that, like, you're watching this knowing that what they are doing makes them a piece of shit. Like, that is shitty behavior. But you're enjoying it. You're, like, cheering them on. You're, like, you love them.
Hey,
you
know what I mean?
Like, you can't help it.
In this month, everyone's a damn criminal.
I know. And so, like, but, like, there's something about the way that they make these characters charming. And that's kind of, and there are people who are very charming, people who are scam artists and stuff like that. And they're kind of scam artists. So you are intrigued by them. You're enchanted by them.
Yeah. Yeah. So what's funny is when she goes up to the counter girl and try to returns everything.
Yes.
I used to work in retail in stores like that. And yes, that crap was like the oldest trick in the book. And what people would do is they would normally, they wouldn't give them a bag to walk out with the stuff. What they'll do is just let them return it, and they would give them a store receipt, so then they can actually go and actually spend actual credit on the stuff that they want without, and leave the store with a receipt.
Right.
So the thing with the hotel kind of puzzled me though when she walked back in the hotel, because I was like, well, she don't have a key, you know.
I think that was one thing that I did notice, but I think she stayed in the hotel room and didn't leave.
Oh, she just stayed until she was done with it, and then never came back to it. Because I was like, she never got
a key.
Like
the shower.
Yeah, yeah. So yeah, so she's in the. She wastes no time, Tiff. I was like, wow, you had no intention of doing anything.
Nope.
So she sat in a jail cell and came up with a plan to steal some diamonds from a museum, and she went through it over and over in her mind for 5 years and like 12 days and 2 hours, something like that. And so she has a plan, and she goes and finds the Kate Blanchett character, because that was her girl before she got thrown in jail. And before that, she stops at the cemetery where the George Clooney, who was supposed to be her brother, is supposed to be buried. And I thought it was so funny that she was sitting there talking about, you better be in there, you know, because everybody in their family is scam artists. Now, full disclosure, I saw Ocean's 11.
Mm-hmm.
Never saw 12, 13. I haven't seen those two.
I've seen them, but I don't remember them at all.
Okay, so George Clooney must die in the third one. That was what all I was assuming.
I don't know.
So he's supposed to be in there, and then one of the fellas, I believe he was in the first Ocean's movie, over.
Yes, they had a couple cameos in this movie.
I only noticed one. And that was the old guy.
The Asian guy is also, that we see later.
Oh, he was
Yep.
Okay. I don't remember him from the first one, so maybe it was one of the other ones. So anyway, he comes in and, you know, he tries to talk her out of whatever scheme she was going to do, but it's not happening. And I like the collection of characters. I like how they got this business watering down booze.
Yeah.
They collect her. They collect it didn't take much, you know. She didn't want to get down with her scheme, but she kind of wanted to get down with a scheme, you know. But
right.
She was, you know... She was apprehensive and dressed to the nine, man. She looked good. Kate Blanchett looked good in this movie. What about you? How did you think about it?
They are all very fancy. The whole movie is fancy.
I'm like, how much are they playing for these clothes? Because they got them $5,000 right there, you know? So the ex-boyfriend that she hates,
Yes.
I'm looking at this guy, and I'm like, I wonder if they wanted Hugh Jackman, but he wasn't available. So they just settled for him.
Is that a little knockoff Hugh Jackman?
Because he looks like a knockoff Hugh Jackman to me. And we didn't know why he panicked and tried to run. And, you know, I like the scene when she, like, threatens his life with the little toothbrush prison chef. He's scared of her, man. And then, you know, we don't find out why until later on in the movie. Why exactly? Yeah. You know, I was wondering. I was like, man, he, you know, is she mad because he moved on? I didn't know, you know. But I think it was kind of genius that they didn't really let you know. What do you think?
Yeah, it's the way the story unfolds is really nicely done. It's not distracting or, like, confusing. You're not like, oh, I wonder. But it just kind of sits in the back of your mind. And then when you find out, you're like, oh.
Now, quickly, they try to recruit Bellatrix Lestrange.
Rose Vile, I think is how you say her name in the movie, Vile.
Yeah, you know? Yeah. I just, when I saw her, I said, hey, ain't that the lady from...
Yes, that's her.
But I love her character, man. When they go to the fashion show and everybody looks like stewardesses. It was so bad, Tiff. And she was like eating a jar of Mutello underneath the desk and stuff, hiding.
That's
from
what
people.
I would be doing. Just being sad. Just being she's hit a slump and she's feeling very sad.
It was terrible. And so, you know, they really made Anne Hathaway look super beautiful in this movie. She's supposed to be the big movie star. And, you know, with the big neckline and stuff. And these two manipulate, you know, because he's a lady that dresses her. She's a dressmaker.
Yeah, and she's a fashion designer. And I think she's very sad that she's not in the limelight anymore. So they really do. But, you know, she ends up later doing a lot of the stuff that they really need to have done.
Oh, yeah. Big time. And then there's a twist that comes that I really enjoyed, the twist that happens later. We'll get into that later. So what they do is
Yes. They
recruit this fashion designer. Didn't take much, but they didn't recruit her. They were kind of leaving her in the dark, recruiting her, giving her just enough what she need, because she was already, they said she was in debt to the IRS by like, what?
$5 million.
$5 million. So she was in a bunch of trouble. So it wouldn't take much to send her over. So they bring in the Rihanna character. And
Nine Ball,
and she's, you know, not much to this character. I would have liked to see a little bit more. I mean, all she was really doing was sitting behind a keyboard and doing a couple little tapping. And I think they could have did more with her, especially toward the end when they did the dress reveal that they blew in the trailer. They shouldn't have did that. I think cause she looked like one of the best ones there. You know, because she was such a boy before that, and you know. That kind of bothered me. I was like, damn, why did he ruin that with the trailer? You know, because she looked really good. So anyway, they recruit her. That's fine. They turn around and they, I love the Asian pickpocket. She was terrible. That voice she was using on the street. What was that, Tiff?
I think, honestly, I think she talks like that.
I think she does too, but what was that?
In real life.
She was like, yeah, what you talking about? I was like, what?
My favorite person that they pick up is Amita, the Indian Mindy Kaling, who is talking to her mother. And then one of my favorite jokes of the whole movie is when they ask her, how long would it take you to recreate this piece of jewelry? And she's like, 5-6 hours. And she's like, how long have I told you you can move out of your mother's house? And she's like, faster.
Right. Like, her mama was just terrible, man, you know. But she had a talent. They were going to 3D print some jewels. They were going to take some crown jewels from this museum. So
and then she was going to recreate them.
She was going to recreate them. And so they needed to have 8 people to do this caper. So they're recruiting people at this point in the movie, y'all. And it's, I like this part. I love the shopping, you know, shopping scenes. People is picking up stuff they need. But one of my favorites was the damn housewife. Goodness gracious.
Tammy.
What a kleptomaniac. Can't keep her shit together for nothing. Got her husband thinking she got an eBay aholic, and she just scamming. Her garage looked like Walmart, man. It was just, and nice and neat, too. Tiff, I wanted to go shopping when I saw that shit.
I know. She was just like, and she, I like how she's like, no, I'm a better, I don't do that. But she clearly is still doing it. She's like, oh, where is all this stuff?
Yeah, right. I mean, and the little girl come bothering her and stuff, so she's trying to be a mama, but she's clearly a thief, you know, that just will never be nothing more than a thief. But she's a chameleon, man. She's white bread next door, blonde and beautiful. And so nobody had respect. I like when they made the thing that said, listen, we don't need no God. Sandra Bullock said, we don't need a God. Guys,
everyone ignores
attention.
Us. Yeah.
Yeah, everybody ignores us. I said, damn, that's true. That's so true. You know, unless you overhot it, you know, if you don't overhot it, you're good. So everybody decides to go to work, man. And the whole movie, Tiff, I'm sitting here like, it's only seven of them. And I didn't even get it. You know, I'm like, it's only seven of them. I said, who the eighth? The guy? Anyway, so Sandra Bullock got this real revenge thing going on for this fella, man. Man,
yeah.
You know,
Claude Becker. He's an artist.
Oh gosh, she want him so bad, it's crazy. And so quickly they move on to going into the diamond places, you know, with the
Cartier, yeah. And they want to get the Toussaint, I think is how you say it.
I don't know.
A big diamond necklace.
Yeah, and I like the scene where they were scanning it. With the glasses.
See, that's what I'm saying. Helena Bonham Carter really comes through in this movie because there's so many instances where they're like, shit, this is all fucked up. And, you know, Mindy Kaling, too, because they're like, she's like, well, what are we going to do? This isn't working. These glasses aren't working down here because they got these old glasses that scan the necklace to make a copy. And she's like, you wanted to see it in the sun.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. And so they take it upstairs. And I love how the actress that plays Bellatrix just kept scan it, but it looked real. If you watched her taking time, she looked like an artist just wasting everybody's time because she was in her
right.
her creative moment and stuff. So it worked. It really, really worked. And even all the all the characters that, you know, weren't really named, all of them, all the salesmen, the insurance guys, you know, everybody. I was interested in this world, Tiff, is all I'm trying to really say.
Yeah, it's really well developed.
And it was immersive. You know, I'm digging everything that's happened. I'm like, man, this movie is really well done. It was a couple of scenes in it that it kind of felt like it got lost for a moment. Like, I don't know, it was that one scene where the girl was telling people that she, you know, was speed dating or dating somebody, or, you know, that little app thing said, oh, he's a match. I was like, what the hell is that, you know? And then they kind of brought it back at the end.
That's just a little flavor text.
I guess. I was like, okay, please don't, no more of this. And then it was just that. So that was it. So I like when it was like, back with the Anne Hathaway character, and they put the fake diamond thing on her for her dress and stuff, and she started having a panic attack and everything. It was pretty good. And you're thinking, you know, this lady is the fool out of the whole thing, you know, because she says some things and calms her down, and, you know, pretty cool. So there's a couple little heists within the heist in this movie, and I think that gives it a lot of flavor that you don't normally see. Like when they the Rihanna character comes in to get the camera layout and stuff, and, you know, they dressed up like a garbage man and stuff like that, and she goes into the corporate room, and all this is, you know, to keep getting the layout of the room. So they do this a few times in this movie where they have to get in places and not be seen. And
yes.
I thought that one scene that wasn't really done that well is when she went into the corporate room in the middle of their meeting. Everybody's looking at her like she's all crazy. Because I'm like, well, that shit happens all the time. I mean, it's clearly super late
at
night.
Oh, yeah. Like, that's when they're like, what are you doing in here? Like, I've been in tons of corporate, like, not tons, but I've been in corporate meetings or meetings that were somewhat corporate where a trash person just comes in. You don't even look at them.
Exactly. I said that to my wife. I said, oh, that shit happened with us all the time. And it's never, what are you doing? Who are you? You know, it's like, get out of here. Y'all overdid that one a little bit. So they do take a little bit of time in letting you see the ladies bond. And nobody's a weak link in this whole thing. And that's one thing I really have to say. Nobody was like that character that you were just like, oh, God, don't show this one again. You know, they all had style. They all had class. And they all had magnetism. And that's a rarity when you got a cast this big. You know, they did it in an Ocean's movie. But they were able to recreate that here. So the gala's about to go down, Tiff. You know, they got their plan together. They got the blind spots with the cameras. And boy, do they have it. Now, the whole time I'm sitting here thinking, you know, is it going to go? Are they all going to get locked up? Or is it?
Right.
Or are they all going to get away? And I like how they had the one girl actually get a job so easy with the gala, as the lady corrector.
So I saw that. And I thought it's because she said, oh, you're overqualified. And then I think she tries to pull back. I think she says gala because.
Oh, you think she did it on purpose?
Yeah.
Oh,
I
interesting.
About this time that I watched it, because the first time I was like, oh, why would she do that? And then the second, because like, what point does that serve in the movie? But then the second time I watched it this time, I was like, oh, I think she's doing it because she's like, oh, I'm not overqualified. I'm an idiot.
Yeah, she had to show the girl that makes perfect sense. She had to show the girl that she was let her be superior to her.
Right.
Yeah. That was that. You're absolutely correct. That's exactly why that went down. Because I was, I thought about it and I kept moving. I said, huh, I think I've said it both ways and never thought about it twice. You know. So she gets the job and she's everything to this whole plan. You know, she, if it were, if not for all of them, but she's really critical. You know, she's directing the little bus boys, all that stuff. So it's around this time they showed a flashback of Sandra Bullock's character with the boyfriend. Mm-hmm. And, you know, immediately you saw it was a dress that she was getting out of prison in. They arrested her and took her in. He set her up, man.
He ratted her out in exchange for his own freedom.
Yeah, and it was his clients that he was defrauding. It's like, wow, you bastard. So I can see why I was mad at him at that time. You know, they made the deal and she went to jail. She kept her mouth closed and he was a talker. So, you know, next thing you know, the gala's happening. They're showing all the jewels. You know, it's pretty good. Everybody looks good, man. I feel like I'm narrative.
Yeah, it's nice.
I'm like, oh, this is good. And there's a quick little scene where the computer hacker's little sister show him how to take that necklace off because it has a magnet on it and stuff. It was all little stuff like that, I think, that made the whole thing work a little better. You know, made you feel like you were more of a part of it, and this just wasn't some dumb thing that just was going to happen. And I'm like, oh, wow, this was, you know, oh, big deal. I think that they did a really good job at bringing you into this world. And I didn't know how this thing was going to turn out. I mean, literally, I was thinking the whole time, like, are they all getting busted? Are they all going to jail? So they do this heist, man, and it's pretty smooth. It has a couple of hiccups, and then that's when they start throwing all the little stars all over the place. All the little cameos, you know, all the red carpet people and stuff like that. And I think that's pretty cool. They did a good job of that. And they end up getting the diamonds. And I like the scene where they fed her something that was going to make her poop.
or throw up. Yeah.
And, you know.
Like Epicac or something that they put in her soup.
I think it's hilarious how the Anne Hathaway character could give a rat's crap about them diamonds when they was gone. You know?
Yeah, she's like, so?
Right. She's like, look, I was throwing up. I don't give a damn about them diamonds. Oh, go look for them. Maybe they fell in the toilet. I don't know. So then they have the fake diamonds. You know, the character goes back and she busses them up. And the way they got those diamonds out of there was genius, how they, you know, broke it up and made them everybody's jewelry and stuff. So they get out of there, and lo and behold, they're celebrating, and here comes Anne Hathaway, man. She knew almost the whole time, man. You know, she's clever. She's more clever than I think everybody gave her credit for. Well, you know, how did this work for you?
When I first saw it, I was like, oh my God, I was very surprised.
Mm-hmm. I didn't see that coming at all. You know, they kind of made her like the village idiot.
Right.
The whole time in the movie. And lo and behold, this chick didn't miss a beat, Jack. She like, nope, I know bad acting when I see one. That ain't happen either. And so she wanted to be down. She don't have no friends. I thought that was so cool. So she joins them, man, you know, and then later on we find out, man, I think one of the coolest things is, you know, they implicated the boyfriend, of course.
Yes.
So he's going to get his. They bring in that guy from that karaoke show.
James Corden.
Yeah. How'd you feel about him? I think he was fine.
He was fine.
Yeah, he was fine. And they gave you just enough of his sniffing this thing out so it didn't get old. Because they could have, it almost felt like another movie was starting with his investigation.
Right.
But, you know, and I liked how he knew the main character and her family and stuff. And, you know, he implicated, you know, she gave him, since he was, you know, all the clues leading to this guy. So the guy is blamed for this stuff. I think that's pretty cool. He was trying to hit on the Anne Hathaway character. I think they were screwing at one point.
Yeah, they do her screwing.
Right. And so, you know, he's toast, man. They take him away. And then we find out that the coolest reveal to me in this whole thing is that they took all the diamonds, not just the one they were trying to get. Because they was like, listen, that's not, you know, 8 million, you know, that's only like so-and-so. And then it turned out they were all going to get, what, $36 million a piece because they stole all the diamonds. They don't even know that the other ones are stolen.
Right.
Which I thought was, to me, that was the football spike, throw it down on the ground. This was the greatest thing that happened in the whole movie, is when they brought the Asian guy from the other movie to come in and do his little acrobatic thing and stole all the diamonds. I thought that was cool as hell.
Yeah.
Great movie making. So that was pretty much it, man, you know. It wasn't much more to it than that, but nobody went to jail, Tiff. I was kind of happy with that.
See the little happy endings.
Yeah, I was kind of cool with that because I'm like, man, this was a cool plan, which I couldn't predict. It was not predictable to me, the way the movie went. And I was waiting to the last minute to see if anybody was going to get busted. And, you know, and I like that. And you didn't have to go too far into complicated relationships or anything like that. And the ladies were all entertaining and funny. And I think it was a good ride, man. What about you?
Yeah. I love this movie. It would cost $70 million. It made $296 million.
Super, super duper successful. Goodness gracious.
So we might see another one, which would be nice.
You could.
But I hope I kind of hope they don't, because this one is so perfect. I don't want them to ruin it.
It happens sometimes, but they did two more Ocean movies.
It's true.
Yeah. These some good characters, that's for sure.
Yeah, I liked them. Mm-hmm. That's good.
Yeah, nobody got on my nerves in this movie, so I thought that was cool. Anyway, man, I think we didn't came to the end, man. I think we did. We got it all done. I like this movie. I totally recommend, and I know you do too.
I do too.
Yeah, especially if you like movies where everybody's a piece of shit. Excuse me, a damn criminal. Boy, everybody was a damn criminal in this movie. Even the actress Anne Hathaway turned out being a criminal.
So I thought this was a good pick for this month.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, this was your pick, and this is good. When I wasn't reluctant. I was just like, I kind of wanted to see this, but I didn't want to see it. And, you know, I didn't have to see it, but I'm very glad that I did see it. And if you felt anywhere similar to the way I felt about it, you should go check it out. It's very, very entertaining. Okay. So that's it, Tip. We came to get the damn thing, and we got it done. I just told Smooth last week. I haven't said that in months and months and months. I forgot about that little catchphrase. Anyway, man, I'm the host of Fans of Patrol. My name is Montego Bradley. With me is the sensitive one herself, Miss Tipplebot. Say goodbye to the people, Tiff.
It's been a pleasure, as always.
And maybe we get Smooth back on next week's show. Next week, I think we're doing the Harry Potter thing, the Crimes of
Fantastic Beasts.
And Grindelwald crimes and stuff like that. So
yes.
That's all good. Anyway, man, that's going to do it for show 215, and we're done, man. So until next week, man, we will be with some Fantastic Beasts and also on patrol.